Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 6th of October. Before we talk about healthcare in Finland, part of our continuing series of healthcare all over the world, a couple announcements. First, to the 98 of you who accompanied us to our Springfield trip just past Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Thank you so much for making the journey. You were just as I thought you would be, curious and fun and smart and great travelers, and we were ready to keep the bus going to Washington, D.C., so maybe that will be our next journey next year. It was a big success, and we hope to do this to another part of the country. We were all inspired and had some laughs and serious moments and helped wound many of our broken hearts in some ways, so it was a grand trip. The second thing I want to say before we go to our guest in Finland, normally this is a good pledge drive so far because we haven't had to have much of a pledge drive. Normally our fall pledge drive is 12 days long, but you have helped shorten this one by 2 days. So for every 700 pledges, we take another day off. And it can be even shorter. Who knows? We could do 3 days off. This is marvelous. So you can give now for a shorter pledge drive. Go to WPR.org. Our total pledge is 1,761, which is great. 2 days have been taken off. So another day off is simply 339 pledges away. I think it's possible. As you know, on Tuesdays for quite some time now, we have been looking at healthcare in various parts of the world. We had our healthcare summit a few weeks ago. And today, this is by request, we are going to be looking at healthcare in Finland. The Finnish healthcare system, highly decentralized, which is most responsible for curative and public health, and it lies with municipalities in Finland. We're going to learn all about the level of cooperation, whether or not most people are insured, their teaching hospitals, and what they do about dental care, what they do about eye care, etc. Our guest, so many people who listen and our guests have Wisconsin ties, has a University of Wisconsin-Madison tie, and has recently returned from the United States, where he talked about healthcare in Finland. Our guest is Dr. Marty Kekalmaki. He is a professor of healthcare management and administration at the University of Helsinki. Our phone number for you to ask your questions and give your comments is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And if you'd like to send an email, you're welcome to do that. That is talk@wpr.org. Dr. Kekalmaki does not speak English as his first language, but he speaks English quite fluently, so he just asks that we slow down a wee bit when we ask our questions. So, let's get rolling. Dr. Kekalmaki, thank you so much for being with us this hour.
You're welcome.
Who invited you to come to the United States to speak about Finnish healthcare? Where were you speaking?
Well, it was a long story. It was a couple of friends who are frequent visitors of Finland from Boston, and they said that they would kind of see or hear or look forward to have me also in Boston. So I was invited by the Department of Public Health, Massachusetts, and also the hospital. It's a Massachusetts Memorial Hospital. So I gave two different speeches on two subsequent days with the same content, and I think that was very much fun. At least I learned a lot.
And I'm sure they learned a lot from you. You also have University of Wisconsin-Madison ties, don't you?
That's true, yes. I finished my master's degree 20 years ago, exactly 20 years ago, and I still recall that year as one of the most interesting, maybe the most interesting years in my whole life. Oh. And I have been benefiting since that almost every day from what I learned there. You have to understand that I'm not just an administrator. I'm a previous surgeon. I'm a pediatric surgeon for 30 years. I've been teaching also pediatric surgery at two different universities in Finland, and I've been running a city hospital of pediatric patients here before I went over to the administration and to the academic life.
I would imagine being a pediatric surgeon is one of the most difficult jobs in the world. I can't imagine doing that.
Well, that's quite a challenge, yes, I admit.
Yes, I would think so. Yeah. Tell me when you've had intimate experience with both countries. What do you see as the major differences between the healthcare that we experience in the United States and what you experience in Finland?
Straight question and straight answer. You believe on market. We don't believe to market to that extent. And because the market is not very well functioning in healthcare, you see, the market, the goal of market can be just to deliver services, but the service always does not mean the same as health. You cannot put, you know, marks between those two. They're two different things. Service is service, and health benefit is health benefit. And as also Michael Porter is trying to shift also the balance in the United States from services to the measurement of health benefit. But that's a very, very difficult thing. And he wrote that book, you know, Michael Porter, who is from Harvard. The book is entitled Redefining Healthcare, Value-Based Competition. And in Finland, I think that, first of all, you have to understand that Finland is located at the same latitude as Alaska. Exactly. So Helsinki is on the level of Anchorage. And Prudhoe Bay is just at the top of Alaska, and we have Utsjoki. And the difference is something like 600 or 700 miles. So it's also a very empty country, this Finland. We have less than 40 inhabitants per square mile, meaning some 16 per square kilometer. So the population is very sparse, is very distributed quite evenly throughout the whole country. So it also creates so-called natural monopolies in hospital. We cannot see that we could have two competing hospitals close to each other. But we have very sparsely populated area, and we have one hospital, and then we have 200 miles, and then we have other hospital, et cetera, which creates a so-called monopolistic production and is counterproductive for all kind of marketing and competition. So the whole basic structure is slightly or quite strongly different in the United States what we have in Finland.
And do you provide, is it a philosophy of the Finnish that you provide healthcare for all?
Yes. Yes, it's guaranteed in our constitution, in the paragraph 19. The public or the official actor has to provide the so-called sufficient services for each Finn. Everybody who lives permanently in Finland is entitled to those services. And we also have a recent interpretation by the ombudsman of our parliament saying that nobody can be denied from any service on the basis of economical reasons. That is against the law. And this interpretation is quite fresh. It's from 2005. So everybody is covered, and there cannot be any limitations on the basis of the cost of care.
Let me make sure I get you right. You said that everybody is provided, you use the word sufficient. What does that mean, doctor?
Well, it's a very good question. I don't know, because I have not seen any official interpretation what they mean by this word sufficient. But the interpretation of ombudsman is that you cannot limit the care on the basis of its costs. Not to speak about the background, the educational level, the income, the employment status. Nothing like that. No. You cannot limit the care on the basis of any of these factors.
When you talk about the system in the United States being market-driven and your system is healthcare needs-driven, was it always so in Finland, or have you had a struggle and a fight to get universal care?
No, we have always had that this way. Now the struggle is to increase the market elements in Finnish healthcare. So we also use the so-called DRG-based costing, and we have the cost structures in the place so that we can also benchmark the cost structure of different discrete entities of care between all the five Nordic countries, because the DRG system in Nordic countries is all the same. That's not exactly the same as in the States, but between the five Nordic countries and Estonia, it happens to be exactly the same. So we can benchmark also the so-called technical efficiency between different hospitals and different countries, so we know what we get with our money.
And let's talk about your money, because that's a big part of the debate in the United States, as you know. How do you pay for your system?
It's paid mostly by the communities. Roughly one half of all the costs are carried by the communities. The patients in Finland pay quite a lot. In fact, they pay close to 20% of the care, because the so-called out-of-pocket costs in medicine is exceptionally high in Finland as compared to the other EU countries. So Finns pay a lot out of pocket, especially for the medicine, not for the care. For the hospital care, they pay out of pocket roughly 5% of the total costs. And that same also applies to the primary health care services. In fact, in some communities, they are still free of charge, because the community is able to decide whether the patient is charged or not. So half of the communities don't charge anything from the primary health care, including also the preventive services, and we have the well baby clinics, which really are using the negative price. Negative price meaning that when the maternity care starts, if you apply to the maternity care, you get paid. Instead, you pay, you see, you get money, or you get some material to take care of your baby.
Oh, my goodness.
But you are basically, that's a good example of so-called negative price. And we employ that, and that's all public, and that's the attendance percentage is 99.5. So practically every pregnant woman takes those services, and most of them take the utilities instead of the money, because the utility package is much more valuable than the money per se.
Mm-hmm. And when you say that communities, half the communities provide full cost for health care, is that regardless of income?
That's regardless of income.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's interesting. What do you see as the problems?
In Finland?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have growing problems. The first of all is the graying population.
Right.
Because Finns had the so-called five post-war generations or years, 45, 6, 7, 8, 9. Each one of those had more than 100,000 newborns. And currently we have only 56,000 newborns per year. So you cannot imagine that those classes are really big. And once they get to the age of 75, 80, 85, etc., we are going to have problems. And that problem will be money. The second thing is that we don't have one-tier system. We have two different systems because the private sector, which also we have in Finland, is also subsidized by governmental money. You see, we have the communal system, and we have the so-called private system, which is also subsidized by governmental money. And this creates, especially in occupational health care, a two-tier system. If you are employed, you have easier access to care, you have maybe better services, and they create a kind of shunt past the so-called communal primary care system. And I see that also in the numbers, that young doctors want to serve those services because they see so-called normal population. They are not dealing with indigent people. They are not dealing with drug problems. They are not dealing with major mental problems, etc. They are not dealing with unemployed population.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's occupational health. And I think that this is something we should not have. We should do something, but the political will is very strong to keep the system unchanged in this respect.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing I think, what is really the problem, is that as you said in the introduction, the system is perceived is very decentralized. Every commune is very independent to decide, including also the information and communication technology they deploy. So we have 6,000 different information and communication systems in a country like Finland with a population 5.5 million, which is absolutely too many. We should have just one system, but since we don't have strong central control, we happen to have this. We were the leading country still in 1990 in healthcare technology, information technology, healthcare information technology, and now we don't rank within the 15 or 20 best in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very sad situation because of the decentralization.
Right. Let's go back to the private plan for just one moment before we take phone calls. Our lines are all filled. Do doctors make more money and people in healthcare make more money if they're working with the private healthcare system?
Yeah. You see, they are allowed. Also, the public doctors can sit on two chairs.
Ah.
That's another problem. That's not a big problem so far, but once we go over to the markets business and we use more and more subcontracting so that we also take services and buy services from the private producers, if the doctors happen to be sit on two chairs, you see the problem is there.
Mm-hmm.
They can set the prices on the public side and they can benefit them working on the private side. So it's crazy. We have to do also something with it.
We're going to welcome phone calls. Our lines are filled right now. You can send an email if you'd like, or just wait till one of the lines is open. We're continuing our healthcare series talking about Finland this hour, and our guest is joining us from Helsinki. Dr. Marty Kekkomäki is a professor of healthcare management and administration at the University of Helsinki. He is also a pediatric surgeon. He also, I love this description, got his master's at UW-Madison and said it was I don't think he qualified this, the best year of his life. 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go to your phone calls now, and let's start with William from Sun Prairie. Hello, William.
Yeah, kiitos. Thank you for having this program. I've been in Finland for many years, and here I'm a third-generation American Finn. My former wife is a doctor in Finland. One of my sons is a dual citizen doctor in Finland and here in America. He's now with the VA treating the war wounded in Wisconsin here, psychiatric problems they all have, you know. But anyway, when I was in Finland, the medical system was fantastic. This was in the 90s. Your health care, dental care, eye care, glasses, everything paid for by the Finnish government. The copay was very small. I'm sad to hear that it's changing there in Finland. You had a great system. I hope you can still retain that great system. Your system is just as good as our VA medical care delivery.
It's very similar, sir. Care. Yes, it's very similar.
Oh, that's interesting. You would compare it to the VA.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also interested to see what happens in places like Kaiser Permanente, because I think that the basic idea in HMOs is sound, you know. In our view, it's sound. Maybe it's not workable, or maybe it doesn't work so well in the States. But in Finland, that would be a pretty good example to follow.
Mm-hmm. And what is your system for dealing with dental care and health care and eyeglasses and vision?
Well, the dental care is currently also subsidized in the municipal health care, so that whenever you have problems, you go and you get the treatment practically without any payment. You pay for the glasses, for sure. Yes, you pay exactly the same amount. It's a market price for the glasses. And as far as I understand, you also pay for the dentures in Finland, but not for the dental care per se. There, the out-of-pocket cost is roughly, say, 10 to 15% from the real cost. That's the situation.
Thanks, William. Art is next. Hi, Art.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to ask your guest about the policies of immigration in Finland and whether or not you have open borders pretty much like we do here. also what the out of wedlock birth rate is in Finland, and whether or not, for instance, if I was a tourist in Finland and came down with an illness of some sort, I would be given free medical care. As you mentioned, anyone who's a permanent resident receives this, but you know, would I, if you know, my wife were pregnant or something and gave birth there, would the baby be delivered free of charge, for instance, if that were the case? So anyway, those are the issues I was wondering about, the immigration.
Yes,
and
right. I start from the immigration. The borders in Finland are not that open as they are in the States. In fact, as compared to this, most of the EU countries, our borders are much more controlled. We have a increase in population, or I would say rapidly increase in population of Russians, some 50,000 in a population of 5.5 million. Most of the Russians are also well adapted to the climate and also very well good professionals. Naturally, there are some exceptions. Then we have a increase in population coming from South East Asia, mostly from Vietnam, and we also have a Somali population, which amounts currently something like 5 or 6 thousand, mostly living in the greater Helsinki area. And you also asked about the births, deliveries. The second question I have already forgotten. So yeah, that was the birth rate. To my knowledge, it's increasing. It's 0.8 per pregnant age. So that the average birth rate per a woman is 1.8, which is not the lowest, not the highest in Europe. I think that the Irish figures are still much higher than ours, but it's clearly higher than in the Mediterranean area, where it is closer to 1 than to 2. But still, with this kind of birth rate, the natural growth of Finnish population is in decline. So we have to rely also to the immigration in order to meet the problems with the aging population. And the third question, if you are coming to Finland, you are supposed to have some kind of travel insurance. You get the treatment, the high-quality treatment, and you currently you are asked what is the insurance company, and the bill is sent over, the real costs are sent over to your travel insurance company, and that's it. But you have to remember that there is not a single private delivery institution in Finland. 100% of all the births happen in public institutions. And still, you can also rely to the quality, because we have the lowest neonatal mortality rate, which is currently below 4 per mil. So you can rely that also the prematures are taken care with the best personnel, I would say, in the whole world. I'm a pediatric surgeon. I happen to know these figures quite well.
I'm sure you do. Thanks, Art, for the call. What do you make of the fact that we have so many people in this country who are uninsured? Are you appalled by that, coming from a system where everybody is insured? And can you, because you have lived here and spoken here, talk about maybe a difference in our character or in our founding or whatever?
I think that it comes back to the market. And there is also one hidden strength in the Finnish healthcare system, and that is trust. I underline it's mutual trust. We don't employ lawyers in our system. I made my audiences laugh in Boston when I said that I was the chief administrative physician of Helsinki University Hospital with 22,000 employees. Yes, you heard right. 22,000 employees. Hmm. How many lawyers did we have? We had 3. And according to my observation, only one was somehow employed. The 2 others walked from one room to another with a cup of coffee in their hand. So we don't have the lawyers mixing this business, because we have the trust. We don't need them. The lawyers don't treat anybody.
They don't treat. They are not surgeons. They are not nurses. They are just lawyers shuffling papers from one from package to another, nothing else. And you see that trust or a market, they are somehow, you know, they are mutually exclusive systems. Either you have market or you have trust. And it's very difficult to create trust if you don't inherit that, if you don't suck that in mother's milk.
Interesting.
And I think that this is, the societies are so different, and it's extremely difficult to give any advice, and I can't do that. There's always plenty of opportunities to learn from each other's, but the basic system is completely different in the United States and in Finland.
May I
also add something more?
Of course.
It's 100 years, less than 100 years, since the Flexner Committee left its paper. Flexner Committee left a paper in 1910 telling that also the doctors should have some education, before they can claim themselves as medical doctors. It's less than 100 years ago. We have a tradition which is 300 years old, that everybody goes to the university and studies for several years, and still today also the medical profession can select its members from the best of the best of Finnish students. They are the mostly now the women with full rank of A's in the college paper who go to the medical school. And I think that they are so much committed just to serve the patient, not to make big money, because the doctors don't make big money. But they serve the patient, and they are respected by the population. In recent polls, it's the medical profession which ranks number one in this society. That has been studied during the last 10 years at least three times, and the result is always the same. The doctors are the most respectable profession in Finland.
What does the term, then, if it even exists, malpractice, mean in Finland, and what is the recourse?
Well, you see that in our hospitals, the doctors are not private practitioners. They belong to the hierarchy. And there is the chief physician who is also responsible of viewing and reviewing the performance of each one of his subordinates. So we have kind of army system in the hospital. If there is somebody who is of lower quality than expected, the head says that, you know, you can't work here. You can't work because either you get some extra training or you quit, either or. And this is, I think that it's also, since we don't have private patients in our public hospitals, it's not just one doctor who makes the medical decision, but that's also every one of those decisions is somehow reviewed in our X-ray meetings, in the rounds, in the wards, etc., etc. The system is much more open for a collegiate criticism than in the United States, where you resort thereafter to the malpractice when that something happens, and we try to prevent that from happening by networking already in the hospital in a much stronger way than in the States.
Let's go to Richard next. Hi, Richard.
Hyvä huomenta. Tervetuloa Wisconsin Public Radio, Martti.
Sure.
It has been my great and good fortune as an academic and artist to have traveled frequently and lived in Finland for a period of time. I have to say that when my plane touches down at Vantaa, I give a very nice sense of relief. It's not from a safe landing, but it's from the fact that everything going forward is going to be in order and will work. This sense of design which permeates the Finnish culture is in everything. And as we hear, the quality of education, the quality of healthcare, from public transportation to door handles, Finns think, and it is so incredibly refreshing. And you speak of learning something in Wisconsin. I can guarantee you that my time in Finland, I was a project manager at Art Design City for 3 years, Ravintolaranta, and I have learned so much, and I'm so pleased with this program because we are struggling in this country with making these decisions about our health care and what to do, and the Finnish model works. We can adapt some of it or part of it or, in my preference, all of it. So, kiitoksia.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Kiitos.
I really speak from my heart when I say that I still feel so deeply indebted to the United States for providing me the opportunity to learn. Because these kind of courses, I'm now responsible for running two of those courses in Finland. But 20 years ago, there was nothing, absolutely nothing, where I could learn health economics, management, information technology, international health policy, strategic planning, program evaluation, et cetera, et cetera. That was all provided for me in Wisconsin.
Thank you, Richard, for your call. Mike is next from South Milwaukee. Hello, Mike.
Hello. I worked with Lars Holstein 20 years ago, 25
really?
Years ago at the University of Wisconsin. You probably know him.
He was my mother's doctor, happens to be. Lars Holstein, yes.
I'd like to talk about cancer care. In Wisconsin, we have 40 radiation oncology facilities. A town like Oshkosh has two radiation oncology facilities. How many do you have in Finland, which has about the same population?
In Greater Helsinki area, we have one public with 7 linear accelerators, and that is called also the Center of Excellence. That's an irradiation clinic or cancer clinic, so as to say, I'm one of its patients. I have had a metastatic or a slightly a prostatic cancer, which was slightly out of control 8 years ago, and I had my surgery. I went there to the linear accelerator, and I was very happy. I'm completely healthy now, and I'm preparing for a long-distance skiing competition, 90 kilometers on the 1st of Mars next next year. I'm absolutely okay. But there is also something news for you. There is a private oncological clinic coming up just during the last 2 years. I don't know too much about that. They call that Docrates Clinic. And they also have some linear accelerators, and they even have PET scans, etc. So it's quite up to date or cutting edge. But what kind of patients they are treating and what from where they are getting the demand for services, I don't know.
Thank you so much, Mike, for your call. We're continuing our healthcare series this hour and looking at healthcare in Finland. And our guest has Wisconsin ties. He is now a professor of healthcare management and administration at the University of Helsinki. He has run hospitals. He is a pediatric surgeon as well and got his master's at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. His name is Dr. Martti Kagomaki. And our phone number, we for the first time have some lines open. So if you've been trying to get through, join us now, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, or send an email if you'd like. That's talk@wpr.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Just a reminder to you before we go back to phone calls, we have had an extensive series of programs on healthcare, and if you go to our website, if you missed any of them, we've done, 12 or 13 programs, including our healthcare summit. Go to WPR.org and then click on Kathleen Dunn, and you can get a whole listing of what it is we've talked about and listen to previous programs. Finland is what we're examining this hour, and Dave from Wisconsin Rapids is our next caller. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Kathleen, and good morning to your guest. I've admired the Finnish society for quite some time. But speaking of healthcare, it seems to me that there's no reason or no need for the administration and our legislature to reinvent the wheel on healthcare. It's been done successfully in a number of countries that we could borrow from if we would swallow some of our pride. But my main point is that we're already spending more than enough money to provide health care for everyone in this country that would compare with anything in any of the other modern industrialized nations. The main problem seems to me that 20 cents or $20 of every 100 is siphoned off by the insurance companies for that doesn't add one thing to our health care. Probably 10% goes to their administrative costs, which are higher than our Medicare. And I could only conclude that it's the strength of the insurance lobby and others, the pharmaceuticals and others, who have such a stranglehold on our legislature is the reason that this isn't being done. For example, the six members of the Finance Committee that have held up this whole shooting match represent less than 3% of the nation's population, and they collect a big share of the funds, the campaign contributions from these entities who want to keep things as they are. And I'm not sure, but it seems like that should be against the law. Anyway, I'd be interested to hear your comments.
Thank you for your question or a comment. According to my understanding, and I refer to some studies which have been published from Harvard University, it is true that your administrative costs are much higher than ours. And it also is true, I refer to one study which was published by Woodhander and Himmelstein. They said that up to 30% of the U.S. healthcare costs goes to administration. Now when you pay $2.1 trillion for healthcare, one-third of that is $700 billion, which happens to be exactly as much as was used for the boost of your economy by President Obama. So we are speaking about tremendous high administrative costs, and I already referred to the number of lawyers. I was also visiting Seattle the other year, 2 years ago, and I heard that one singular insurance company used 2,000 nurses just to review the charge of the patient's charge. 2,000 nurses, full-time employed nurses, to see what was written in the charge, because you don't trust, because you rely on the market. But, you know, it's so difficult to tell you that to skip the market. I'm a very market-oriented. I think that I would be a Republican for my economical views. The first thing what I read in our newspaper is the stock market. But once it comes to the health care, I'm a socialist. Yes, I am socialist, because that's the only area where socialism survives is health care. It doesn't survive anywhere else. Otherwise, it's controlled by the market. But the basic difficulty is that you can market the services, but you cannot market health. And the healthcare should provide health benefits. And they are not measurable at the point when the service is delivered in several cases. Think about my prostatic cancer. How can I select the best provider since I don't know what's the outcome? I know, 8 years after my operation, I know that, okay, I was one of the survivors, one of the last survivors, but I didn't know that 8 years ago. I should just trust somebody who is able to take the prostate out and rely also on the linear accelerator after the surgery. But this is not market, it's something else, and it's very difficult to twist. The health economists also say that there are market imperfections, and there are also market failure. Both apply to the healthcare. I refer to the textbooks of health economics. This is the basic truth in health economy.
Thank you, Dave, for your call. Jesse from Wauwatosa, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. The healthcare system in Finland sounds just wonderful, but I mean, I'm afraid that nothing like that can be accomplished here in the States, because there are so many fundamental differences from the population. I mean, there's so many more people here in the States than in Finland. Cultural differences. You know, we eat fast food, and I'm sure, I don't know what the numbers are, but I imagine the healthcare issues, the physical issues that are dealt with in Finland are probably, you know, different than what they are there here. Less, like, for instance, heart disease, presumably, I don't know. And also, there's just a fundamental difference, like you said, in the perspective. I think that trial attorneys, unfortunately, have a stranglehold on healthcare here. And unless there are things like tort reform, and you had mentioned closed borders, and we have such wide open immigration. So there are so many fundamental differences that need to be addressed before we can achieve a healthcare system that I think would be so successful as the one they have in Finland.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is always options just to learn from some aspects, but healthcare is never export-import thing. It's never. It rests on the cultural basis. It reflects also the cultural values. It's very much dependent on immigration business, how stable your nation is, etc., etc. But the option to learn from each other remains, and that's why this kind of conversation is also very good. I think that I have to address one of the problems, which is used to be very visible one, and I think that was the quality-wise the worst problem, and that was the so-called waiting lists. Now the waiting lists have been controlled by the legislation. It's illegal to keep somebody waiting for a hip joint surgery for months. You have to get the surgery in due time. And still today, despite of this new legislation, I know that we do have some few hundreds of people who have, for some reasons, who have to wait for 3 or 4 months for a hip joint or knee joint or etc. But this should be exceptional. The real waiting list what we have today also deals with some kind of some of the psychiatric treatments, and they are followed very keen, but we don't have the tools to really reduce the waiting list to zero. And also we could ask, should they be zero? Yes, in some cases, no waiting. But in some other cases, the Finns are much more tolerant than most people in the world. They can wait a couple of weeks. I'm just waiting for my hernia to be operated. The hernia was created by the radical prostatectomy 8 years ago. I've had that inguinal hernia for 8 years. And now I decided to get the operation since the first time I had some pain last summer in that region. I said, okay, let's take that and let's fix that. And I go under the knife before Christmas. But no hurry, absolutely no hurry, because I know as a surgeon that it's not going to be strangulated, not going to lead to any major health problems. Mm-hmm. So no hurry.
So when you look at our system, are we so complicated and so governed by the wrong kind of philosophy that there's little that you admire about us or that you think would work well in Finland?
Well, that's information and communication technology. I'm an admirer of VA system, and I also would appreciate very much having the opportunity sometimes just to sit in some of the HMO bureaus, let's say in Los Angeles. My sister is living permanently in Los Angeles, and I would appreciate the opportunity to sit, let's say, 4 weeks to see how the information which is collected in clinical work is reused for managerial purposes. That is my hot topic today.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say that naturally you have to remember that the United States pays a lot for the new technology, new inventions, and we are just copycats elsewhere in the world. That is one of the cost issues. We should be grateful. We know that Finland is also quite frontline country in clinical investigation and also in basic biochemistry. But still, I would say that the information flow is from the States to us, for sure, yes. So we are benefiting. We are not paying so much for the information, for the new drugs, for the new devices, new operative methods, as we should. So you are also creating, you are also bearing our burden in that sense, if you will. So it's funny. It's always a kind of exchange of ideas, opinions, methods, processes, procedures, et cetera, et cetera. And this kind of dialogue should be as vivid as possible.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jesse, for the call. Bob from Minnesota. Hi, Bob.
Yes, good morning. Hyvää huomenta.
Hyvää huomenta.
Yeah, I lived in Finland for many years, and I've been traveling there for 40 years now to visit and to live. And I just wanted to share a little bit of my experience there. And it's really nice to hear what you have to say. And you say it so succinctly that I've been trying to convince my friends here in Minnesota that there is another way, you know, a better way in this healthcare world than the American system. But so far, people don't listen too well. But I just I had one question. But while I was online waiting, I think you answered it, and that was the question about that I get all the time about how long do you have to wait to have procedures?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And
yeah,
so,
I think it's becoming by and large under control. That's my reply. And once you have a cancer, if you have a heart attack, you get the revascularization without any waiting, either with balloon dilatation or a CABG surgery. Mm-hmm. You don't wait currently for those procedures anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The situation has changed dramatically during the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And also the decline of CABG surgery is clear. We used to do more than 1,000 CABG cardiac bypass operations per year. In our hospital, currently the number lies somewhere in 600 or 700. So the technology flow affects also Finland, and we are trying to keep abreast with the new achievements. And we have also one of the hidden strengths is that we have an internet portal. Which is open for all the doctors without any payment, which is created by the Finnish doctors, and which can also be read in layman's language. We call that health library, so that the doctor and the patient are talking the same way because they have the same information. Has been very popular. It's been created by the Finnish Association of Physicians or a society called Duodecim, and that was the first major effort couple of years ago, and the visit number goes to millions. So that before our patients go to the doctor, they go to the health library, they see what the symptoms could fit, and thereafter they start talking with the doctor almost from the same level because they are pretty well informed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in my experience, it was 10 years ago that I had a back problem there, and I got within about 4 days I got to see the chief back doctor, I'll call him, at the main hospital in Turku.
Okay.
And I thought that was pretty quick.
Well, yeah, in some cases, naturally, you see the doctor in 2 hours. If you have a cardiac vena, if there is a compression of the sciatic nerve, you get the relief in not in 4 days, but in 4 hours, yes, in some cases. But it depends, you know. And in some others, you wait to see that specialist for weeks, maybe. That is true. It depends on the gravity or the seriousness of the clinical situation, very much.
Thank you, Bob. Irene is next from Stoughton. Hi, Irene.
Good morning. I just wanted to share that I went to teach as an international teacher. Back in 1985, I started in Italy, but I also taught in an international school in Belgium. In both cases, by virtue of the fact that I had a visa to teach, to work in those countries, I did have universal health care, and I had excellent care. I had... Before I could speak the languages, I had bilingual doctors. I was hospitalized in both countries without any difficulty. And eventually, I actually married an Italian, and we returned to the United States to care for my mother, who had very extreme Parkinson's. And it's been a headache since we've been here regarding health care. I can't understand, instead of thinking we can't do it, you know, why can't we do it? I don't see why the United States couldn't develop a public option, universal health care, whatever you want to call it, in a way that perhaps could be, you know, an example for the rest of the world. We are so far behind. And every time I have heard these questions over the last now almost 30 years, I have said that healthcare was better for me when I lived in Europe than in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Kekkomäki, we're almost out of time.
Well, I thank you very much. and for this opportunity to talk. Yeah, no comments. I think that it's good to have keep this dialogue ongoing.
Oh, I agree with you. There couldn't be much more that's more important. Thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Yeah, our great pleasure as well. Our guest is now Professor of Healthcare Management and Administration at the University of Helsinki. He's a pediatric surgeon, Dr. Martti Kekkomäki, and some of you may remember when he was in Madison getting his master's some 20 years ago. We'll be continuing our Tuesday series on healthcare. We have the whole world to deal with, right? So we're going to be looking at Italy and some Asian countries as well as we debate healthcare reform here in the United States. So we thank him. Thanks to Jolema Noel and Rob Schroeder for producing this hour. Thanks for all of your calls, everybody. We do want to remind you that our fall pledge drive is being shortened now because you're calling in. For every 700 pledges, we'll take another day off. You can give for a shorter pledge drive at WPR.org. We've already taken 2 days off, and we need 339 pledges to take 3 days off. How does that sound? I'm Kathleen Dunn. We'll return following the news on the Ideas Network.